bells ring. Are you listening? In the land I'm singing. It's a terrible song to happen tonight. Chris is talking about creepy stories. Yeah. Welcome to Campfire Chronicles. I am your host, Chris. And tonight we will be doing a Christmas-themed story that I have pulled off of Reddit. The creator of the post is Poodinator, and it is a very strange tale, but I'm not going to explain it. I'll just go ahead and get into it. I checked my inbox this time last year, and it said you have 63 unread emails. This was going to be a long night. Sure, I love Christmas as much as the average person, and I like earning a bit of extra money, but I still wasn't looking forward to it. It was my job to read each and every one of these emails and respond as if I was the real Santa. I also had a small pile of handwritten letters that needed a reply as well. They were stacked up next to me, all neatly tied together with a piece of string. For some reason, I actually prefer receiving the handwritten letters other than the electronic version. It feels more personal, but it seems like most kids nowadays would rather send an email. In fact, I had only this small pile of 12 letters this year. All the others were strictly via email. I began to click through each email, quickly skimming what it was that each child wanted for Christmas, before replying that I would try my best to deliver that gift to them. I would always end the email by signing off as Santa Claus before clicking send. Most kids would want the usual presents of bikes, games, or a puppy, but there were also a number of requests that were a bit more unique. One kid wanted a bottle of hand sanitizer, while another wanted a hammer. For the most part, though, it appeared that kids mainly wanted similar gifts. The night was getting late. By the time I had answered the majority of the emails, my hand and wrist were beginning to tire, but the thought of earning $3 for each reply was what managed to keep me going. My eyes wanted to close, and so I decided to leave the small stack of letters until tomorrow. I still had a dozen or so emails to complete, but it was time to call it a night. Ding! The unmistakable sound of another new email rang across my small apartment. I knew that I wasn't going to respond, but I wanted to skim read what it said before making acquaintances with my bed.
Holly, good work on responding to all those emails tonight. I know it's mentally draining, and I know you are working hard at it, but I just want to make sure you are also replying to the handwritten letters that I sent over to you this morning. Those kids need a response too. Thanks, Michael.
I never met Michael, but when it came to getting my job done, he was in constant contact with me. Michael was a decent boss, but sometimes could be a bit pushy and a tad demanding. I was going to respond to the letters as well, but both Michael and the kids would have to wait until tomorrow to hear back from the fake Santa. I was just about to finish closing the lid on my laptop when I heard another unmistakable ding sound. Another email had come through. I thought most kids would be in bed at this late hour, not sending a Christmas wish via email. Curious, I flicked my laptop back open and read the new email. The subject consisted of only 6 words. It read, "On the first day of Christmas." Unsure of what this meant, I opened the email and read what was written. It didn't take long to read the words because it was only 2 sentences long. The caroler sent to me,
"A partridge hanged in a pear tree."
I reread the email a couple times, making sure that I had correctly comprehended the message. I knew what was written, but I didn't entirely know what it meant. I sat there staring at the computer screen, confused as to what this email was about. I didn't have long to be confused, though, because another ding filled the silence in the room. I looked at my inbox and saw another email had just been sent through. This time there was no subject, but the actual contents of the email was once again only a few sentences long.
"The first Noel, the angel did slay."
The caroler. This email also made mention of the caroler, and I was unsure as to who exactly that was. Maybe just someone playing some sort of prank, but I had seen enough horror movies to not completely dismiss this as such. More often than not, things like this turn out not to be a practical joke, and so I was wary as to what was really going on here. I thought it was best not to respond to these emails, but I knew that I shouldn't just delete them and forget about them either. Bing! This time, when I checked the email, it only contained a single sentence, another line from a famous Christmas song.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at my sight.
The caroler. The caroler signed his name at the bottom of the email again, making sure I knew it was from them, whoever they were. I was starting to feel a strange sense of dread. Like my body knew that something was clearly wrong, but my brain was still trying to decipher what exactly. I was definitely concerned by the caroler's use of the word sleigh. Ding! Ding! There were two dings this time, both of them making me jump slightly in my seat. My eyes darted back to the top of my email list, and I saw two new emails had just arrived. The first one read,
"Bells on Bob's tail ring. Make his spirit rise."
The caroler. The second email, also from the caroler, contained another quote from another joyful Christmas carol.
"Joy to the world, for I have come."
The caroler. Now I was worried. Whoever this was wasn't mistakenly sending me these emails. This was intentional. They wouldn't accidentally send me five emails, all containing strange versions of the carols. Each email seemed to allude to something dark or sinister, which is something that I couldn't ignore. Ding!
"Rudy the dead-nosed reindeer had a very tiny nose."
The caroler. This email was the first to truly disturb me. I'm not sure entirely why, but I think it was because it seemed as if Rudolph was purposely changed to another name. This probably meant something, but what that was still unknown. Obviously, the caroler was trying to scare me, and he definitely knew how to. What scared me most, though, was that what if these emails were clues to something?
"Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the firstborn king."
The caroler. I read this email twice before I noticed that it read firstborn instead of newborn, as is heard in the song. I wasn't quite sure what the significance of this change was, but I was certain that it had to mean something.
"Oh, come ye faithful, dreadful and triumphant, come ye to Beth."
The caroler. Another changed lyric to suit a name. I was absolutely sure that this was on purpose now. This had to mean something. This had to be a clue to something bigger. It just wasn't possible to make this many spelling mistakes without them being deliberate and calculated. I looked around my empty apartment. It was dark, apart from the light on my laptop screen providing a faint glow of light. The darkness no longer felt comfortable, and I needed a proper light source to help calm myself down. I needed to be able to see everything that was inside the apartment, just in case. I stood up out of my seat and only took one step towards the light switch when I heard another ding. I didn't want to look at it. Not until the lights were on. I continued to walk towards the light switch while constantly looking through the darkness, hoping not to see anything within it. I reached the switch, flicked it on, and quickly glanced around the room. It was empty. Only the wardrobe, my desk, and my bed were present. I quickly walked back over to the laptop, but as I did, two more distinct dings rung out across the room. When I reached the laptop again, I had three unread emails that had just been sent through. I knew exactly who they were from, before I looked at them. The first email read,
"He sees you when he's sleeping. He knows when he's awake."
The caroler. I paused to take it in, what I had just read, before moving on to the second email.
"Bad tidings I bring to you and your Finn."
The caroler. The final email, which was the longest so far, read,
"And carol out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the gory Christmases long, long ago."
The caroler. Three more emails, three more names mentioned. I waited, watching the laptop screen, waiting for another ding, waiting for another email to pop up, but it seemed like the emails had stopped. I waited a few minutes, expecting to receive another one, but it never arrived. As I sat in my now well-lit apartment, I felt a chill run down my spine. I wasn't really sure of what I had just experienced or what any of it meant. I just knew that it wasn't something I wanted to be involved with. It was silent, and I was listening out for any small noise that I could, just in case I heard anyone nearby. I could hear a car or two outside of my window, but other than that, it was a silent night. I had never heard of anyone called the caroler before, and I was afraid as to who or what they could be. Why were they contacting me, and why all the cryptic messages? I suddenly had a thought. The letters. The handwritten letters for Santa that I hadn't had a chance to look at yet. For some reason, they popped into my mind, and once the thought of them occurred, I couldn't shake the feeling that they may be involved somehow. I looked to the side and towards the bundle of envelopes that were beside me. I reached out and grabbed the top letter on the stack. I tore it open and pulled out the single sheet of paper that was inside. The piece of paper was only small and only had a few sentences written on it in small, incredibly neat handwriting.
"Dear Santa, for Christmas, I want to be a partridge in a pear tree. From Georgia Partridge."
I instantly knew then that this was all connected somehow, and I frantically grabbed the second letter. I tore the envelope that contained the second letter. I pulled a piece of paper out of the envelope and quickly unfolded it again. There was a small note written in the same neat handwriting as the previous letter.
"Dear Santa, all I want is to be found in the fields as I lay. From Noel Dover."
I read the letter, then froze. I recognized that name, Noel Dover. I had heard it before, I swear I had. I just couldn't remember where. Pushing the thought of his name aside, I grabbed the next envelope that sat on the top of the pile, tore it open, and plucked out its contents. The same handwriting greeted me in what now felt like a taunting manner.
"Dear Santa, for Christmas, I want to sleep in heavenly peace. From Henry Shepherd."
It then struck me. I remember how I knew the name Noel Dover. Well, I thought I did. So I went back to my laptop and searched for his name. I was right. I had correctly remembered where I had knew his name from.
Search enters day 12 for missing camper. "Missing camper Noel Dover has been missing for almost 2 weeks now. Both police and volunteers have been tirelessly searching ever since it was first reported he was missing. Police inspected his campsite and have today revealed that there is no evidence that points to foul play. It is unknown at this time whether there are any suspects that relate to his disappearance."
The article continued to explain more about the missing man, but I had read enough. I remembered the story from a few years ago. As far as I knew, no one had ever been convicted of his abduction. In fact, I don't think there were any suspects. After discovering this piece of information, my mind began to race. Why was the letter sent to me? And why did it refer to true crime? Of course, my brain immediately thought of the possibility that whoever was sending me these letters were involved with his disappearance, but I tried my best to push that thought out of my head. I knew it was the logical explanation, but the thought scared me too much to entertain it any longer. Out of either curiosity or maybe hope that it was a coincidence, I decided to search the internet for the other names mentioned in these letters, Georgia Partridge and Henry Shepherd. I hoped to find that they had not met similar fates. I entered both of their names into the search engine. I didn't like the two newspaper articles I had found on them.
Georgia Partridge, a body found hanging from an old pear tree, suspect suicide. Henry Shepherd, his body was found inside of his home. A large hole was dug through his forehead.
I was seeing the pattern, which I guess was the caroler's design. The disturbing trend of the names from the letters all belonging to dead individuals was one that I wished I wasn't involved with. I looked around my apartment one more time, just to confirm that I was indeed alone. I couldn't make out anything out of the ordinary, just the usual furniture and clutter. I turned back around to face my laptop and the slowly declining stack of letters. I had to know what else was hidden within those envelopes. Of course, I was afraid to see what else they would reveal, but I had to know. I also needed to know why they had specifically been sent to me. I pulled the next letter that was resting atop the pile and opened it.
Dear Santa, I want to sing a slang song tonight from Robert Calling.
Another clue that directly related to the emails I had previously received. Bells on Bob's tail ring, making his spirit rise. The email that had mentioned Bob rushed through my head. I had no doubt in my mind that if I researched his name, he would indubitably be dead. I decided that I didn't really want to know about Bob's fate, so I moved on to the next letter and read it.
Dear Santa, I want to hear the angels' voices ring, from Joy Gold.
I read through this letter once before tossing it to one side and opening the following letter.
Dear Santa, I want to meet Slasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen from Ruby Lang.
After reading this one, which also was written in the same exact handwriting as all the previous ones, I turned back to my laptop. I looked back through my email inbox and began to cross-reference the letters with the emails I had been sent. So far, they were all in the same order. And each name that was involved in the email was the same name that each letter was from. I guess at this stage, my curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to try and find out what had happened to Robert, Joy, and Rudy. It didn't take long to discover their fates.
Robert Calling disappeared from his home on Christmas Eve 4 years ago. Neighbors claimed to not see anyone near his house, but heard bells at around midnight. Joy Golden was strangled to death in her own home. A long piece of tinsel was discovered close to her body. Rudy Lang disappeared 11 years ago. His body has never been found. All that was ever located was his nose, which was cut off of his face and was left on his mantelpiece beside a number of Christmas cards.
I know at this point I should have probably phoned the police, or phoned anyone really. But I guess my morbid curiosity got the better of me. I needed to know more. At this moment, I heard what sounded like a slight creak behind me, and I jumped in my seat and turned around quickly to see what it was. Nothing out of the ordinary was apparent inside my apartment. I couldn't see anything or hear anything other than the sound of my own rapid breathing and the loud thumping of my heart. I turned my desk chair slightly, so that was angled in a way that meant I could see the door to my apartment and I could still easily reach the letters. I wanted to have eyes facing out towards the main area of the living space, and so I could see the front door. I didn't think anyone would try to enter my apartment, but I wanted to be able to see in case they did. Once I was satisfied that I would be able to see anyone entering the apartment, I grabbed the next letter and opened it.
Dear Santa, I want to join the Triumph of the Skies from Jacob King.
It took a bit longer to find further information about Jacob King, but I did manage to find something. Not a newspaper article like previously, but a post on social media by who I presume was Jacob's mom.
If anyone knows where my eldest son Jacob is, I beg of you to tell me. He hasn't been seen by anyone for 3 days now, and I need to know where he is. If he is with you, Let me know.
That was all I managed to find about him. But it told me more than enough he was missing. I looked down at the stack of papers that were left. There were still 5 envelopes sitting on the desk. No doubt, 5 more clues about 5 more people that were now missing or dead. I dreaded opening them, but at the same time, I needed to know what they said. I knew that once they were all open, I would take my findings to the police. There was evidence here that all of these crimes were connected. Someone knew about them. The caroler knew. I opened the next 4 letters, one after the other, and read what was written on each one.
Dear Santa, I want to sing with the choir of angels, sing an execution from Beth Mead.
Dear Santa, do you know if I've been bad or good? Because I've been bad, for goodness sake, from Hugh Dancer.
Dear Santa, I wish you a Merry Christ Massacre from Finn Lord. Dear Santa, can you make it the most sinful time of the year? From Carol Pippen. I read through each letter, getting more and more worried as I opened each one. I was worried because I was getting closer towards the final letter, the letter that I really wasn't sure what it was going to contain. I had only received 11 emails, yet this was the 12th letter that I was going to open. I could think, hopefully, and assume that this letter actually contained a child's letter to Santa, but hopeful wasn't something I could be after what I had just read through. I knew that it was going to be another letter from the caroler. I turned my chair back around, sacrificing my eyeline to the door to do so, and very hesitantly picked up the final letter. I slowly tore the envelope open and pulled out the sheet of paper that was inside. As I pulled out the letter, I could see it was the same handwriting, the same neat handwriting that was present on all the other letters. I read it out loud this time, and the letter was exactly what I feared it'd be. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, the caroler. As I finished reading it, I heard a voice come from behind me, speaking directly into my ear.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la.
Alright guys, that was part 1 of The Caroler from Prudinator on Reddit. So far, it is a really good story. I cannot wait to do part 2. And I want to apologize for not getting back to doing this sooner. I know I said I was going to only be out for like a couple weeks, but it ended up being like 2-3 months. But I really needed the break. Things just kind of got weird. I started really not wanting to do this. I was starting to kind of burn myself out. And I feel like this was a good way for me to kind of slowly get back into the rhyme and reason of doing things. So look forward to more stuff in the future. Like I said, this is going to be part 1. And I will more than likely have this up pretty soon, before Christmas. God, I hope so. And at that note, I will catch y'all later.